Dear Vedapa sisters and brothers, Dhamma friends, we today also going to start the question and answer session. We'll start as usual with the written questions and see whether there is more time for the questions from the audience. So we'll first start with the written questions, please.
Venerable sir, with your permission, I will start with the questions that we couldn't get to yesterday. They are, however, Dhamma questions, and then we will proceed to the questions that came today. There is a total of 10 questions, and I seek your forgiveness in advance because the last two I couldn't read properly. They just came, I just saw them only now. Most respected Bhante, I don't understand the meaning of karma guna. As for karma sanya, is it the mere perception of sensual pleasure, the awareness of it, the simple knowing about it? There can be sensual pleasure without craving. So there is no need for karma sanya to end. Can uddaccha, restlessness, be seen as a kind of attachment to tanha? Tanha assuring some tension, stress, agitation. Please correct and clarify. Thank you.
So karma guna means multivarious things we desire. See shapes and manners, many facets. That's called gunita, multivarious. Hearing so much of various things. Music, sounds, female, male, clothes, far. And the taste, the smell. That is called karma guna. They are multivarious. Karma sanya means when you close the eyes, you are no more with material or luxury or the material sensuous objects, but it's perception. You will be filled with it. So even though you are physically distanced with the karma guna, karma sanya is torturing you, specifically the yogis. Other people don't consider it as a torturing, they consider it as a entertainment. So karma sanya, karma guna. Karma guna is replaced by karma sanya when you close your eyes and going to take a sitting posture. So whatever they were developing, the craving desire is only we consider. We don't consider things do not create that kind of a urge, that kind of a craving. They are not come under the karma guna or karma sanya. Whatever it may be, creating kind of a instability, craving, crazy, chasing behind, simply term is motivated. If we are motivated by something, and it is with the desire that we call by multivarious desirable objects, and when you renounce it, the memory about it, memory of it, appear as a perception. So this is the way I can explain, and I hope I explained 4 times through the talks. So still there may be some clouded area, unclear area. So only thing we can do is listen again and again, read again and again, apply again and see your own definition.
Second Dhamma question. Venerable Swami Mahansa, this is a Dhamma or theoretical question regarding the Dhamma talk you gave us day before. If I understood right, you mentioned that the emergence of Pancha Nivarana was to be taken as a positive thing, as it signifies that karma guna are no longer present, i.e. that karma guna have been replaced by karma sanya. Please be so kind as to elaborate on this. Does this mean that the sloth and torpor, I am guessing this includes sleepiness as well, is to be taken as a positive indicator? Please also describe the other nivarana. My Dhamma knowledge, which is not much, recalls these as uddaccha, kuccha, vichikiccha, etc. So I hope I am referring to the right thing. A little confused, as I seem to recall the pancha nivarana as described as being obstacles to the path to nirvana. Thank you, and may you speedily attain nibbana.
So it is not little confused, it's utterly confused. There's nothing to worry. Because karma guna means vattu karma, nivarana means klesa karma. Vattukama is materialistic entanglement at the home. You are always happy to see different shapes, different colors, different sounds, smell, taste, sounds. Once you renounced, the everything gross represent as pancha nivarana, they are better than actual mingling with sensuous objects. The Nivana also defilement, but at home, transgressional level of defilement, it will be replaced by obsessional kind of defilement. So in the series of this Patipada training, always we are replacing the gross thing by a subtle thing. Subtle thing will be replaced by subtlest. So when compared with the gross, subtle is better. But when compared with the subtlest, subtle is bad. So that I understand, difficult to understand. This is the perspective, you have to understand the relativity. Our mind is utterly lenient because of this education, bloody fool education. So therefore we can't see reciprocal matrix kind of thing. When compared to the kama guna, kama sanya is better. But when compared to the kama sanya, rupa is better. When compared to the rupa, rupa sanya is better. So very radical way, the day you understand, you have done 50% of your task. But you fail to understand because you do not wish to understand. Because our mind is working in the lenient way. When we are practicing, it is not lenient, it is reciprocal. Yesterday is good, today will be bad. Yesterday is best, today will be good. So that is how it is happening. So remember, kama guna replaced by kama sanya replaced by rupa, rupa will be replaced by rupa sanya. So each and every step yet to come, you have to appreciate. Otherwise, you will never see progress, you never see relativity, you never see the way the Buddha's presentation is very radical. So renunciation is better than household life. That is the simple answer.
Venerable sir, the next question also from yesterday is, there are two questions in Sinhala by the same person. One is a morning reporting, the other is an afternoon reporting. Since the afternoon reporting gives more depth, I will simply ask that question. Please forgive me for any problems with the pronunciation and reading.
I will punish you. No. Nothing to worry.
I will get that person to come and read it afterwards.
I have enough reason to punish, so I always waiting to punish. No excuses. No pardoning.
Anyway, we'll put our hands in your... we'll put ourselves in your hands for our progress. That doesn't matter. You can punish all you want. Atipujaniya Swamin Vahansege Avasarai Savasvaru Sakman Bhavanava Sakmane Kelavaraka Hitagena Inna Bhava Danagani Men Pasuva Avidhima Patangani Pada Deke Sparshe Hundata Dane As Idripita Samastayama Pena Gani ඒ හරහාද පාදයේ ස්පර්ශය දැනි. පේන සමස්තය වතුර උඩ ඇඳපු චිත්‍රයක්සේ නලියමින් තැන් තැන්වල zoom වෙමින් පොළව පුපුරන්න යනවාසේ දැනි. ඒ දැනීම හරහාද පාදයේ ස්පර්ශය දැනි. ටික වේලාවකින් ඔක්කාරයට එනවා වගේ කැරකැවිල්ල වගේ කකුල් දෙක පන නැති ඇඟ තෝන්තු වී වැටෙන්න යනවාසේ දැනි. ඒත් ඇවිදීම සිදුවේ. ඇවිදෙන භව දැනීමෙන් තිබේ. එහෙමම පර්යංකයට යයි. පර්යංකය. සක්මනේ තිබුණු අමාරුව සමගම ශාරීරිය බුරුල්ව තියාගෙන වාඩිවේ. පිම්බීම හැකිලීමට හිත යයි. ශාරීරිය තව බුරුල් වේවි යන භව දැනේ. මූල කර්මස්ථානයට නැවත හිත යයි. ශරීරෙටත් හිත යයි. ඔළුව ඉස්සරහට කඩා වැටි තිබේ. එකවර ඔළුවෙන් බටට වැටෙනාසේ දැනේ. නැවත ආවට පිම්බීම හැකිලීමට හිත යයි. මේ වගේ පැය භාගයක් ඇතුලේ හතරක් හෝ පස්වරක් සිදුවේ. නැවත මූල කර්මස්ථානයේට එන විට සක්මණින් පසුව තිබූ නිදි බර ගති අමාරුව තෝන්තුව නැති වී තිබේ. හිතීම ඇස් ඇරියත් ටික වේලක් වනතුර ඒ තැම්පත් ගතිය දිගටම පවතී. ඉදිරි භාවනා කටයුතු සඳහා උපදෙස් ලබා දෙන ලෙසින් කාරුණිකව ඉල්ලා සිටිනවා. ඔබ වහන්සේට නිදුක් නිරෝගී සහ චිරජීවන ලැබේවා.
So how to sort it out? Because this is English medium retreat. Question is in English, Sinhala. So it is unfair by the people, those who do not understand it.
Would you like me to try and translate?
Yeah.
But I'm not good at Sinhala, right? So I will try. The first part is on walking meditation. Stand at the end of the walking path and I'm aware that I am standing. I then start walking. Feel the sensations of the 2 feet clearly. Keep the 2 eyes at an equal level in front. Along with that, continue to feel the sensations of the feet. The total system seen includes as if there is a drawing or a painting done upon water and fluctuating, nalyamin. Here and there is a zoom towards the earth and as if the earth explodes. Sensation as if the earth explodes. Along with this, continue to feel the sensations of the 2 feet walking. After a little while, feelings of vomitishness arise. Also, faintishness, lifelessness in the 2 feet. Anger thontu vima, faintish.
Giddiness, fainting.
Dizziness, okay. Dizziness, faintishness, as if I'm going to fall. Despite all of that, the walking continues. Aware that walking is taking place. From there, immediately I go to sitting meditation. Sitting meditation, together with the aches and pains and discomforts of the walking meditation, the body feels loose and relaxed as I sit. Mind goes directly to the rising and falling of the abdomen. Become aware that the body is continuing to become increasingly relaxed. Mindfulness repeatedly goes back to the primary object. The mind also goes to the body. The head drops forward and down or collapses. The head collapses down. When looking or when observing, almost as though the head fell down towards the stomach. Continue with observing the rising and falling of the stomach mindfully. This cycle continues about 4 to 5 times during a half hour period. Mindfulness returns to the primary object. And as the mindfulness returns to the primary object, I notice that the aches and pains, the faintishness, the dizziness, and the difficulties that were experienced during the walking meditation are no more. Slowly open my eyes. However, for a little while, that composed sensation continues to be maintained. Please give me advice on developing my future meditation practice. May you be healthy, well, and may you attain nirvana.
The report is good. Was everything happening but still continuing. But writing in singular is the only thing I have to advise. This is an English retreat. So we will adhere to single language. Otherwise, wasting time. So therefore, get the help of someone and please put it to English. And then it will be fair by others. Vartav hondai, dhilatin vidhi hondai, vedi karagane ande. Namut, karma kalla single in dhande pa. Eto vata pita venne, mage radio ki line ka maru kurande. චැනල් එක මාරු කරන්න එනවා මම ඒක සාමාන්‍යයෙන් කිනෝ කරන්න එපයි කියලා මොකද එතකොට මට පැටලෙනවා ඒවා ඒ නිසා සිංහලෙන් දියන්න එපා දිනනවා නම් කාගෙන් උදව්වක් කරගෙන ඒක ඉංග්‍රීසියට දාගන්න නැත්නම් අර ඔක්කොමලා නිකන් තක්බීරලා බලන් ඉන්නවා කාලේ නාස්ති වෙනවා අපි යනවා ඊගා ප්‍රශ්න
sitting meditation reporting I am aware I am sitting my buttocks are compressed against the cushion taking most of the body weight and rest of the weight is distributed along my crossed feet. I start with, here, now I am. Then the rising and falling of the abdomen suggests itself. At first, it is gross, with the abdomen distending and receding. Then it settles down so that the sensation is more at the chest area. Gradually it reduces to a gentle undulation. Observations. Awareness on the rising and falling was maintained for 45 undulations. Then for a few brief moments, the mind went wandering, then returned to the primary object. While awareness of the rising and falling remained, there was also awareness of a myriad of sounds, animals, rustling of fellow meditators, sounds from the kitchen. Awareness was concurrent. There were short moments when bodily pain came and went. Attention on the primary object remained. Then there was awareness. I was drooling. There was an immediate urge to wipe myself, but it was rejected as irrelevant. I continued with the primary object. The second part is on walking meditation. Shall I continue?
Yes, please.
Walking meditation. Primary object, placing of the right foot and left foot. I begin walking, focusing on the rising and falling away of the sensations of the mat as the right foot is replaced with the left foot on the mat. I am aware I am walking, not sitting or standing, and I have visual verification of moving forward. I can maintain awareness on the placing of the right foot and left foot for the length of the mat, approximately 46 steps. I am aware I am turning at the posture junction. I receive verification when I see the change of direction. Observations. At the beginning, I am aware of the texture of the mat. Later, it reduces to just awareness of touch. Sometimes, Sometimes I confuse the right and left foot, but it rights itself. I am aware of the night sounds in the forest, the creaking of the door. There is also peripheral vision, but awareness of the primary object remains. There are thoughts that come and go without engagement. There are times when the mind engages with the thoughts and loses the primary object, but the mind returns to the primary object. After a while, drowsiness sets in. I increase the pace and walk with intention to overcome it. Teruvan Saranai.
Both the sitting and walking is fairly reporting what is happening, and mindsets indicates that ready to accept whatever happening. That means the existentialism. There's no, this should happen, this should not happen, no such a thing. For an example, when you're observing the rising and falling, mind may wander off, and when you come back, you may verify you are with the same rising and falling, maybe not the just before the wandering, after that it may be little changes. And so before and after you can compare, little changes are there. And if you maintain the mindfulness without wandering, same thing happens. Changes are there. So this acceptance is the maturity in meditation. If you are going to reject something, if you are going to fight with something, if you are expecting something, you will be utterly in the tension. So therefore you have to have the choiceless awareness and the evenly suspended attention. So that preparedness never happened all of a sudden. It is not electric. It is not overnight. So after long practice only, listening and inferential knowledge and practice, only one day you will understand. Main thing is not to worry, just see, and that is not enough. You have to report exactly, then you are relieved. So that is what you call existentialism. Whatever happened, it has its own reason, not the what you think, what you interpret. That indicates your foolishness, your idiotness, your narrow-mindedness, your reaction. That's also good. That's also something diagnostic. But don't take it to grant that what in your interpretation is the interpretation. Put it in again and again practice. The day you can report as it is without your interpretation, I would say 50% of your meditation is finished. That you know how to work with the world, the vicious world, the vicissitude of the world, but you are unshaken. Or at least you know that unshaken approach is the radical approach. So in reporting, in sitting, walking, day to day and everything, not that bad things are not happening. They are happening. But don't write. Don't include it. Because you are promoting it by including. You are promoting by writing. You are fertilizing by writing. So therefore, just see only the love spots. Just see the silver line on the dark cloud. Don't try to waste papers and the time and the ink to complain about the dark cloud. Then there is no the writing, the literature and meditation and literature in outdoor. So therefore, you must know how to find the love spots. The Buddha mentioned, Subha paramaham bhikkave metta cheto imutting vadami. Ida panyasa pugalo uttaring appati vijjantasa. Till you achieve the nibbana, just see the good side of the picture. Subha. Then the journey is comfort zone. Journey is in the least frictional path. Leave aside what is a frictional path, and that change from the leaving aside the friction, when it is going to happen, no one can predict. It is so intrinsic, so electric, so it never happened in overnight. So your attitude towards this thing is the one deciding. So this reporting indicates it's fairly mature enough and not shaken away, taken, carried away, or taken away by the thoughts and the emotions. So continue to report like that, and then you may see you are inflicting the suffering. Infliction will be slowly reduced. The world is the bloody world. Never changes, even if you get enlightened. But you know how to ride the wave without getting much of a jerks.
Next question is on meditation. Dear Venerable Sir, what is Dhyana and Palasammapatti? Concentration of the mind focused on the wholesome deeds is said to be Dhyana. Kusalsit pilibandava sitak ekagratavaya. We, before starting meditation, relax totally, including all the muscles in the face area and the whole body, and then feel very calm and rested. Also, our selected posture for which we have trained would enable us to stay undisturbed for a maximum possible time without getting body pain. At this stage, we begin to observe our own breath, inhale and exhale. The inhale breath feel cooler and the exhale warmer. At the beginning, the exhale may look longer than the inhale. When calmly observing, it is about 10 to 15 natural breaths. In about 10 to 15 natural breaths, it becomes even and settled. My observation point remains down below the nose, at the tip of the nostril, above the upper lip. Now the inhale and exhale looks even and short and becoming invisible. Together with this situation, the concentration is on the breath and loose feeling of body, as if like a weightless situation. Is this a dhyana situation? The breathing becomes short and invisible. The beating of the heart becomes more prominent. I note that as a character of the corporeal reality and keep my vigilance onto the faint breath from my usual watch point. I feel the joy and passadhya. If I hear a voice or a sound, I know it is only a noise caught by the ear. In my mind, if my mind carry away by any perversion, vanchanika dhamma, I take care to notice it and leave it out. Is it vitakka vichara? Still the I factor remains. I factor is in whole of the episode. Where have I gone wrong? Theruvan saranai. Is it only the nominal I? Theruvan saranai.
Yes.
So
that the theory part and the practical part very nicely explained, but still mingling with that, is it the Janika experience or is it the Vitakka Vichara? Whatever it may be, if it is promoting mindfulness, please follow it up. If it is missing your mindfulness, please throw away. Whether it is the Jhana or with the Vitakka Vichara, whatever it may be. If it is promoting and conducive, it's a light on your path, please make use it. Otherwise, don't worry. Well, this thing will happen gradually. The main thing is your direct experience. When the direct experience happens under the light of mindfulness, everything is inalienable, unalloyed. It's complete by itself. Without theory, easily you can go. So therefore, don't worry about the unknown thing, which is disturbing, which is given by entertaining doubts, which is inviting for theory, that means asking for trouble. So therefore, whatever it happens, if you feel comfortable and relaxed and passadhi, well and good. Continue to do it, and then the theory part will be naturally happening rather than infesting with this bookish knowledge. For this journey, it is not much important. You may fail, you can continue. Don't worry for the moment about the theory questions.
Most respected Venerable Bhante, late evening sitting meditation is effective for me. This is not to say that I am always focused on the object, breath, but to say that I am aware of my monkey mind most of the time. I have noticed that I let thoughts linger, and it is not immediately after getting a thought that I order my mind to come back to the breath. Maybe I notice after some time only, but in walking meditation, there are more thoughts in quantity that pops up in mind, but for a very short time. They just come and go, but don't stay in mind for long. I felt settled in a cross-legged sitting posture. This was after about 15 to 20 minutes of trying to focus on breath without much success. Then I noticed my body became calm and settled down. The metaphor of salt solidifying at the bottom of a glass of salt water once came to my mind. Then I noticed numbness of legs and movement of stomach, then the breath. Afterwards, my mind was connecting to past experience, to future possibilities, and started creating a story. I noticed what happened only after the thought process took place. My question is, how do I note the thought as soon as it occurs, as not to give time to develop into a series of interconnected thoughts? And what can I do to avoid mind exaggerating an experience to make something big based on a simple sense-based experience? 2. I forget a lot of interruptions to the focus on breath. One small detail I remember is hearing a dog bark really loud at night while my mind was calm and focused on breath. I know I heard the bark in the first instance, but irrespective of that, the next instance my body reacted with tension and alertness. I can't comprehend this since I heard first and have nothing to be alert about. Is there an explanation or could it be imagination? Thank you. May the Noble Triple Gem bless you.
Two remarks. One thing is that whenever thoughts are coming and disturb you, just see whether you are thinking or thoughts without a thinker. Very distinct. If you are consciously thinking, you can say it is, I am thinking. But there may be some thoughts without a thinker. So if it is coming under the category of the thought without a thinker, nothing to worry. Worrying is the only fertilizer it needs, only food. So don't worry. Because the Buddha mentioned, Chetanaham Bhikkhave Kammang Vadami. If you are doing any volitional or willfully, you are answerable, responsible. But it's happening, no problem. So therefore, even the sound happens, even the thought happens, pain happens, breath rising and falling, anything, no problem. But meanwhile, you can see you get mingled with that emotionally or volition, that you have to understand where you get triggered off. It's a very clear, sharp indication who you are. So that also you can put into the report. You can note and understand this is the underlying tendency. It is directed disposition. At the time, you get excited. But otherwise, if it is happening, if it's unintentional, believe the Buddha. You are not answerable. And then your scope increases. Day by day, whatever the thing happen, you are not worrying, you are not answerable, you are not judgmental. And that means you are not in a tension, in a frustration. Things are happening. So this give more time you to be with primary object. And there the question happens, how can I catch the very beginning of the primary object? How can I catch the very beginning of the thought? How can I catch the very beginning of the pain? The sound, that preparation itself is the answer. If you go prepared, you are bound to see the beginning. So that is, you can nip it at the bud level. If you delay, that means negligence, it will grow. You need so much of equipment. If you are vigilant and diligence, day by day, you can see the starting point of the thought, the starting point of the breath, starting point of the rising and falling, whatever it may be. It's just like you go to the river, and go to the in search of the beginning. And when you go there, you don't know which branch to take. Because ultimately there is the river as such, some brooks and little waterways are happening. So it's very difficult to call the name that you assume. So likewise, when you go to the beginning, your impression, your attitude is utterly different. We are delayed, we see only already happened phenomena. That's why we are rushing to give our impressions, our decisions, our commentaries, that is out of our foolishness. Whenever you see the beginning, you will be spellbound. You will never talk. Because early part is so quickly changing. Now scientists are in search of the God particle. The very first thing happened soon after the Big Bang. They live only tiny time and immediately different change into the other. And they stay into the other. So therefore, they are going to see the beginning. And they found if you're going to see the beginning of the particle, particle has two characters. One thing is the weight, the other one is the speed. If you are focusing your machine to the speed, you can't see the weight. If you are focusing the machine to the weight, you can't see the speed. So beforehand, you know what you are going to see. That means your foolishness is what you are going to see. When you are focusing the machine to the weight, you know you are going to see the weight. So machine shows what you wish. That has only two characters. Both never you can see simultaneously. Deductive knowledge. So likewise, when the thinking happens, just see your alertness, your vigilance, your diligence will give a lead. And that safe enough. Because no intention. You are just alert. So when you see any phenomena, beginning, it is easy to nip it at the bud level. That is why the mindfulness and the diligence come in the synonymical equality. If mindfulness leading you to see the beginning of the thing. Because your vigilance increases, your diligence increases, your sensitivity increases. So when it happens, let it grow, don't interfere. Don't try to be smart. Don't try to accelerate. That means you are missing the situation. It knows. You are very necessity to see the beginning, it's enough. It happens when you are mature enough. So therefore, go prepared. Anything, not only the thought, while you are happening again and again, you get each and every cycle, you get a chance to go to the source, go to the beginning. That is what you call yonisomanasikara, see the source. And it is unbelievably, completely different thing than what you have observed. So go to the beginning, and then your mind will be sharp enough, vigilant enough, diligent enough to see the end. So the Buddha's series is, if the beginning is 1, middle is 2, and the end is 3, the Buddha's formula is 2, 1, 3. So catch the object with 2, and then go to the 1, and then end with the 3. So your responsibility is to see the 2 and the 1. Third is an endowment. More you go to the 1, your mind becomes so sharp, naturally you are becoming qualified to see the end, and nothing to worry because there is nothing to do there. Everything is there. It is becoming as an endowment, as a gift. So go to the beginning as much as possible. But even then, don't rush. Let the mind to find its own accord and it is explore into the middle.
The next person has the question in two separate parts. Dear Bhante, while I was sitting meditating, I was focusing on my in-breath and out-breath. I could keep my focus for about an hour while my shoulder was paining too. But when the last few minutes of the session arrived, my whole body started burning and I had to run to get a wash. I was quite confused and scared at the time. May you be happy.
May you be also get burnt and go to rush to wash. Same to you. So this is the time you get the whole body mindfulness. So then you rush, you have a bath and you wash off the mindfulness. Be with the total burning. Each and every cell is talking. So your mind is utterly in the presence. You see how much you are changing and rushing to get rid of that. So after learning, after gaining, after gathering the momentum, you have to just wait one single thought moment. Be patient. Nothing will happen. Of course the fear happens because things are in the correct path. Whenever things are in the correct path, the doubt and the fear. So you have to understand, when the path is correct, the doubt can happen. When the path is correct, the fear can happen. So how much I can put up with that doubt and the fear, how much I can go prepared with that. So that indicates you are really going to get the maximum benefit out of your practice. Otherwise, at the peak, if you are rushing, get up and go, you will never reap the harvest. So be patient. When the whole body is burning It's utter mindfulness. See one split second, and if possible, two split seconds. And then you can see nothing happen. And you are really living. Otherwise, you are partly living. Otherwise, you are in the past or future or other places or other being. But here, you know, I am. Every nook and corner is talking, irritated, burning. And you can just observe. That observation is preparing you for like a scout, like a girl guide, or like a soldier of the special task force. So don't run away. Be patient to face it. The simple way is go prepared.
Same person, but a different question. According to psychology, whatever we do is recorded in our id, and we take them wherever we go with our astral body, as I have heard. Is this what's called karma in Buddhism? If so, how does it come into play when we get a new birth? Can karma have a huge impact on our lives, like it is said? May you be happier.
Yeah, the Western psychology is based upon the self. So it is on the permanent notion. So therefore, very difficult to see the negative language, negative message the Buddha gave, which is not permanent, is suffering, no soul. So read the book Psychotherapy Without the Self by Mark Epstein. You will get the answer, because he is one of the best mindfulness practitioner, and he knows Western psychology than me, of course. Because we can't understand it. It is so very difficult. Quite a distance for us to understand, because it is happening with psychotherapy with self. But the Eastern psychology, specifically the Buddhist, they radically different. Psychotherapy without the self. So in the picture, in the front page, it says there's a sofa. There's one person that lie down. And is to pay for the patient. And there's a very nice armchair for the psychiatrist, but both are empty. That's the message, psychotherapy without the self. So the question is different, analysis is different, answer is different. But safely I can say, as far as you are mindful, you are going in between the Western psychology and Eastern psychology, you are not getting entangled with. I would say, be mindful and mind your own business.
Venerable Swami Vahansa, thank you for bearing with me as a beginner to meditation and for guiding me by answering my previous questions. Sitting meditation. I have found that it's a little difficult for me to pursue sitting meditation in the closed hall and much easier in open spaces with trees and air. Hence, during the afternoon session, I went out onto the rooftop as it was drizzling at the time. As the rain was light, I took a moment to breathe in the trees and open sky and let stillness settle in. Then I settled into sitting meditation, letting my primary object be my breath, noted through the rise and fall of the chest. I noticed that when concentration increases, my focus subconsciously shifts to the delicate exchange of air at the tip of the nostrils. I do not do this consciously. It is as if the senses or the sensation of breath becomes sharper and the mind automatically latches onto it. Meanwhile, the body tends to lose focus and feel invisible or like a sensationless block. How I know then that I am sitting is by knowing that the lack of movement in my lower half or legs, and that I can mentally view my sitting self as if separated from it. Thoughts do arise, and sometimes I find myself following a thread of thought until I recognize this and bring mindfulness back to the breath. There are momentary spaces of nothingness, like gaps or blanks. I have once heard stillness described as the gap between two thoughts. I wonder if this is it. In terms of thought, I find that more than memories or projections, I find myself thinking a lot on bits and sections gathered from previous Dhamma talks at the retreat and trying to apply them to things I know and experience in my existence. For example, yesterday when sitting outside, I noticed raindrops hitting the short wall of the rooftop when drizzling. Probably as the wall was heated strongly by the previous sun, each drop of rain hits the stone, makes a watermark, and then absolutely fades away. I watched the appearing, spreading, and disappearing water splotches in fascination. I thought, how like thoughts arising and fading in the mind were these watermarks on a sun-heated wall. The image remained as food for thought in my mind for a long time. Venerable Sir, when we are relatively away from sensuous perceptions and thoughts arising seem more towards Dhamma points and reflection, are those Kamasanya too? Wondering if it is okay to ponder and reflect on those thoughts or bring mindfulness back to the primary object. Is this the objective? I was also shocked to get to know that I have been experiencing the perversions known as Paravittaka when you mentioned it only yesterday. I tend to start thinking a lot on how I should share this amazing experience and knowledge with the ones I care about. This then is Bhava Tanha emerging. Thank you.
So whenever the Kama Sanya is temporarily suppressed, we are exposed exposed to the bhavatanna, unmingled with kamatanna, so we are just like away from the gravity of the earth. We can experience something different. And there the gravitational forces are not working, but other forces are working. So you have to experience as much as possible, but our rational mind is always about to give opinions, always to interpret it. It is very talkative, never mind, because that mind also getting processed. Seasoned, and therefore let it think, but try to keep as much as possible the mindfulness, and there you can understand the thin slicing of time is much easier without kamatanna. Kamatanna is binding each other, very difficult to separate. It is guna. Guna means the number of strands put into a rope and ropes put into a thick one, and ultimately you can sort them out. But once the kamatanna is suppressed, bhavatanna, you can thin slice the time because it is just theoretical analysis, like philosophical analysis, spiritual analysis. So you analyzing yourself easier without much of the bondage. So when it happens, you have two options. One thing is, I am permanent. Second thing is, there is nothing permanent. Two extremes, Ucchetavada and the Sasatavada. So mind is playing hell. At the time it says that there's one something indestructible continue. Aditya is there's nothing such a continuation. It's the momentary line. So mind can't make a decision. Don't give a support. Let the mind be. It has to learn by lack of gravity kind of a situation. So there we call noble quest. Arya Pariyasana. Don't try to evaluate it, don't give the positive or negative marks, because it is playing in a different atmosphere, different paradigm. So everything happening, of course, kind of a kamatanha, but it's a new area. You have gone to a new place and now you are going to get the orientation with the GPS or by the telephone call or by northern star or southern star. You try to get it, so uncertainty, doubt and everything happen. But evolution is taking place. So therefore, it's a very nice way, very nice transitional period in everything. Don't rush. Let it happen again and again without putting hard and fast labels. Temporally you may put it, because mind can't talk without epithets and the labels and the signs. So don't take it just like a water drops, it appear and it disappear. And let the next moment to happen. So there you find the rejuvenation takes place. The refreshment happens as far as you are not going to give any theory, as far as you are not going to give any technical terms. So let that mind be aware of the new area which is temporarily free from kama tanha or kama guna or kama sanya. You are rather with existentialism, egoistic, illusory ego is just existing here and there. Without much of thriving, you just write. You keep on writing. That is to communicate, but still the pot is boiling. Not completely brewed, it's happening. So that is the best thing in the long retreats. We can let things happen a little longer for seasoning, continue to be a radical reflector without much of conclusion.
Gauravaniya Swami Mahansa, I am a beginner to meditation and find difficulty in walking meditation. Even when I am labeling as left, right or raise, drop, thoughts coming. Many are just abstract thoughts which have no meaning. Else, after Dhamma talk, I remember parts of it. After sitting meditation, I mentally report the experience to myself while walking. Sometimes it's only two or three steps that I can take with the attention on foot. However, I tried to walk with eyes closed while being on the mat. It worked at first. It kept thoughts away and could observe the weight shifting between two legs. Both legs were working together. When one heel was touching the ground, the other heel was lifting off the ground. It felt like a part of a wheel turning around. Also, soles were more tuned in for sensation of the mat, which was very difficult to experience with eyes open. Then, as I got used to it, thoughts began flowing again. At last, I experimented going four steps with eyes open and four steps with eyes closed. Finally, I was able to walk the length of the mat with very few thoughts to disturb. Am I doing the walking right or am I cheating my mind? I humbly request your advice. Budhu Saranai.
So before you start or before you introduce mindfulness, you'd have walked. You wouldn't have much thoughts, but no problem. Because you are not mindful. Now when you are walking mindfully, thought happens. You consider it as a difficulty. How come that? Your mindfulness is working. It is telling while walking thoughts are happening. It's a new discovery. Don't take it that knowledge, that under the nose experience as a distraction. It's a result of mindfulness. That's the first question. That is a nivarana. You are appreciating nivarana because you know now. You have bookkeeping. But if you are hating it, there won't be any progress. That is why the Buddhists can't make more progress. They are disciplinarians. So they can't open. They say that at the time at home we are walking, thoughts are happening, no problem, because no bookkeeping. Now, thanks to mindfulness, bookkeeping happens, you hate accounts. Because accounts are showing that you are mistaken. But now you know the amount. And when you continue like that with the closed eyes and open eyes, slowly, slowly you can see more steps you can walk with awareness. So that indicates mindfulness is growing. So you have to appreciate understanding thought under the nose. Verily when it happens, it's an advanced achievement of your mindfulness. Don't consider it as a distraction. Don't consider it as a block for you. Your alertness is increasing. So that is the point where you have to appreciate thought. Not that thoughts are appreciable, but you know while walking thoughts are happening. And you know which is more, which is less. So bookkeeping is there. So that is what called renunciated kind of suffering. That suffering is better than household suffering. That's the way the Buddha is telling. It is renunciated kind of suffering. That is called nivarnas. That is called the perception. So know that it. And go prepared, and that is to say, be glad with nivarnas. Nivarnas will not come. Moment you hate nivarna, they come in wholesale. You love nivarna till that I am waiting for you, I have prepared already green tea. So please come and sit. We are going to share some green tea. They will not come. It's a simple trick. And so much of time, I have to repeat. I feel sorry.
That was the last question, Venerable Sir.
Okay, now we have already spent 10 minutes over time. Anyway, before ending, any comments or any new questions? Since there are no remarks, we are going to sum up the today's question and answer session. We are going to have about 50 minutes for the walking meditation, and after the walking, we will come here for a group sitting. Thank you very much for the participation.